All right, brethren, let's turn to Psalm 18. Psalm 18. Our text would be Psalm 18, verses 1 through 3. But by way of introduction, we need to understand three things here. First of all, let's understand who's speaking in this psalm. The heading tells us, "To the chief musician, a psalm of David, the servant of the Lord." Now, the Holy Spirit moved King David to pen these words, the words to this song, and much of what is said here applies to David. But this is a prophetical psalm, meaning the Holy Spirit gave David the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is Christ speaking. In fact, several verses in this psalm are quoted in the New Testament, and we're told that it is Christ speaking. I'll show you one of those tonight. We'll look at another one another time. Indeed, David was a servant of the Lord. He was made king over political Israel by God. But Christ is the preeminent, faithful servant of the Lord. He's the faithful servant of God. He's the king over his spiritual nation, his spiritual Israel. He was David's king. The Apostle Peter said this in Acts 2:34. He said, "David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself," David said himself, "the Lord, Jehovah God, said unto my Lord," the Lord Jesus Christ, my king. He said, "The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand till I make thy foes thy footstool." The Son of God took flesh. The Son of God came down and he took flesh. He's the Son of God and he's the Son of man. And he came to serve God. He came to serve God. He came to represent his people before God. And he came to fulfill the covenant that he made with God in eternity, to magnify the law and to make the law honorable. And he did that by finishing the transgression. He did that by making an end of sins. Christ made reconciliation for iniquity. Christ brought in everlasting righteousness. And Christ sealed up. He fulfilled the vision and the prophecies. Everything that's written in this Old Testament scripture, the visions and the prophets, what they spoke, it's all pointing to the successful redemption of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything in these scriptures are speaking of him. Christ and him crucified, his successful redemption of his people. And that's the case with this 18th psalm. The whole psalm is speaking of Christ. Whenever our Lord was walking this earth, he spoke to some men one time, and he said, "Search the scriptures." And at that time, they didn't have the New Testament scriptures. He was talking about the Old Testament scriptures. And he said, "Search the scriptures." He said, "You think you have life in them," but he said, "they are they which testify of me." That means all these scriptures. When he was walking on the road to Emmaus with those two men, and he said to them, it says, "beginning at Moses." The first five books of the Bible were by Moses, beginning at Moses and all the prophets. It says that he expounded unto them in all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. When Philip found Nathanael, you remember what he said? He said, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write." In other words, this is who Moses in the law was writing about. And this is who the prophets were writing about. Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. You read through the New Testament, and time again we'll read, Christ did this or he did that, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. Because it was written by the prophet. Because the Lord said of the prophet he would do this or that. So Christ, he accomplished the will of God. He fulfilled that which he came to do by fulfilling all the visions and the prophets. And then he anointed the most holy. Christ himself is the anointed Holy One. He entered into heaven, into the holiest of holies, into the most holy. And he anointed that place for his people by his presence with the Father, presenting Himself to the Father. And He is, by His Spirit abiding in us, He is, every believer is made holy by Him, sanctified by His Spirit, washed in His blood, and robed in His righteousness. So first of all, we see here that this one speaking here is Christ Jesus. It is the Son of God, the Son of man. He's the Son of David. He's the only mediator between God and men. He's the servant of the Lord that's speaking here. And then secondly, we need to understand to whom these words are spoken. The heading says, who spake unto the Lord. Now when you see capital L-O-R-D, it's speaking of Jehovah, the Lord God. Jehovah the Father, Jehovah the Son, Jehovah the Holy Spirit. That's who's being spoken to. Now Christ is God the Son. He's God the Son. But Christ is speaking here as mediator. He's speaking here as the servant of the Lord who is representing His people. Christ is, in a sense, speaking of Himself here because He is God the Son. He is the second person of the Trinity. And because Christ is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And because these things that are written here are true of Christ for the believer. So these words are spoken unto Christ the Lord. They're spoken by Christ. Spoken by Christ, and they're spoken unto the Lord Jehovah, unto God. And then three, we need to understand the occasion that these words were written. It says here in Psalm 18, in the heading, it says, who spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. Now David indeed had reason to sing to the Lord because God had delivered him from Saul and from the greater part of his enemies. But remember, David is speaking prophetically here. This is Christ speaking. And none but the Lord Jesus Christ could say he's been delivered from all his enemies. Christ Jesus the Lord came and he conquered, he bruised the serpent's head, Satan's head. He triumphed over powers and principalities. He overcame the world. He put away the sin of his people. And the last enemy to be destroyed is death. And none but Christ could destroy that enemy. So Christ is the only one who, of whom it can be said he was victorious over all his enemies. So we got these three things. We got to understand that this is Christ speaking. Christ speaking. Number two, he's speaking to God, the Lord God. And number three, the occasion is in that day when Christ said it's finished and God raised him triumphant, victorious over all his enemies. Now, in this song of Christ singing to the Lord God, we behold here how the believer is made perfect in love, how that we have the perfection of love, of righteousness, of the fulfillment of the law. We see how we have the perfection of reverence to God, godly fear, reverence to God, and we see how our faith is perfect. Not in us, but in Christ. All of these we'll see in Christ. Let's read it together. Psalm 18, verse 1. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. Here's love. Here's love. We're going to see we have the perfection of love in Christ. Then he says, the Lord is my rock and my fortress, and my deliverer, my God, my strength. He's praising Him. He's reverencing God. He's fearing God. He's giving God the reverence and glory due to His name. And then he says here, in whom I will trust. He believes God. He believed God. He said, in whom I will trust. My buckler, the horn, the power of my salvation, and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So I shall be saved from mine enemies. Now the first thing we see here is Christ Jesus is the perfection of love. He's the perfection of love. The very righteousness of his people. That's what Christ is. He's the fulfillment of the law. And this is what he said. Verse 1. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. Now this is the perfect heart of Christ toward God as he served God as the head and representative of his people. This is the perfect heart of Christ, our Redeemer. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. Whenever God the Son came down, he came down to represent fallen, depraved men. fallen depraved men that were given to him of the Father. And when he walked this earth, he was the head and representative of his people. That means that Christ stood as the one faithful God-man that God looked to. The only one God looked to, this one man. Everybody else was unfaithful. Everybody else was full of enmity against God. Everybody else did not reverence God and did not believe God. He's the only one who came down, and he's the only man representing his people that God looked to. And he didn't represent all men. He represented his elect people. That's who he's representing here. He didn't have to represent anybody, but he did come to represent his people. Now, what does all that have to do with Christ saying, "I will love thee, O Lord, my strength"? Well, turn to Luke 10. Turn to Luke 10. The whole law of God is summed up right here. Here's the law of God. Luke 10:27. A man came and he asked the Lord Jesus, "What shall I do to inherit eternal life?" In verse 26, he said unto him, "What is written in the law? How readest thou?" And he answering said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God. Love the Lord thy God. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself." And the Lord said unto him, "Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live." There can be no mixture of sin whatsoever. It has to be perfect love with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and the same towards your neighbor. Now, there's not any sinner on this earth that has ever fulfilled this law. Not one. When God brought you into some trial that was painful and hurtsome to you, did you love God perfectly? Have you ever loved God perfectly? Whenever your neighbor's child died, did you wish it was your child instead of your neighbor's child? We never loved our neighbor perfectly. But Christ Jesus established the whole law. And he did it by loving God and loving his brethren. He loved God and he loved his people perfectly. This was his holy heart. He said, "I will love thee, O Lord, my strength." So with perfect love to Jehovah God on behalf of his people, Christ faithfully served God in holiness of heart and in righteousness of deed from the cradle to the cross, especially when loving God and loving his brethren meant going to the cross and this one who knew no sin being made sin for us and bearing the wrath of God, the justice of God in our room instead. That's the fulfillment of the law. That's loving God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength and your neighbor as yourself. That is the fulfillment of the law. That's why Christ is the only one who fulfilled it. That's why Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. He's the only one that ever did this. He said this, "Hereafter I will not talk with you much." That's what he told his disciples. He said, "For the prince of this world cometh, and he has nothing in me." He said, "But that the world may know that I love the Father. That the world may know that I love the Father. And as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence." And he went. He went to the Garden of Gethsemane, and he suffered the agonies of being made sin in that garden. And then he went under that corrupt judgment of men. And then he went to the cross. And he stood before God with the sin of his people upon him, and he bore justice in the room instead of his people. So Christ is the perfection of love. He's the fulfillment of the law in perfect righteousness. He is the holiness and righteousness of every sinner in whom Christ abides in spirit through faith. Christ is. Now, we're born of the Spirit, and we do love God. We love God our Father, and we love Christ Jesus. As John said, we love him because he first loved us. But we've never loved him perfectly. We've never, ever loved him perfectly. And we can't love God and our brethren as Christ could. We just can't. We've never done it as God demands it to be done. It is in and by Christ that God reckons us to have loved God and our brethren in perfect, holy, righteous love. because Christ said, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. All right, here's the second thing we see. Now go back to our text, Psalm 18. Secondly, we see how Christ is the perfection of reference toward God for every believer. He's the perfection of reference toward God for every believer. Christ said in verse 2, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, my buckler, the horn, the power of my salvation and my high tower. When Christ walked this earth, he looked nowhere else but to the Lord God. When he walked as that one man serving God faithfully, as we ought to have served him, as we ought to have served God, he walked serving God as God demands to be served. Now, the duty of every man is not only to keep the commandments of the law, but it's to do it with the fear of God in our hearts. It's to do it completely reverencing God. This is what the Scripture says. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God. Fear God. Reverence God. Fear God and keep His commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. This is the whole duty of man. The fear of God is reverence. It's reverence for God. This is what true internal religion is. It's true godliness in power in the heart. It's a fear of God. And it includes all the graces given by the Holy Spirit. Remember the Lord, the Spirit came upon our Lord Jesus without measure. And then it includes using those graces, it's reverence of God, it's love to God, it's faith in God, it's hope of eternal life from God, it's humility of soul, of patience, of submission to His will. And all of this, it includes giving God all the glory. Christ is the only one that ever did this perfectly. He's the perfect believer. I know He's God. But when he served God, he's walking before God, depending upon God, perfectly as his people ought to. He's doing it representing his people. He's doing it to be that perfection for his people in every way. And that's what Christ our surety did his entire life. That's what he did by all the work that he accomplished. And that's what he's doing here while the occasion of this is he's raised and he's looking back over his earthly ministry. And this is what he's saying. He's praising God. He reverenced God. He glorified God in perfection. God said this in Isaiah 42:1. He said, behold, let me read it to you. He said, behold my servant whom I uphold, mine elect in whom my soul delighteth. And he said, I've put my spirit upon him. I put my spirit upon him, and he shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. Now here's Christ, and he's bringing forth judgment to me and you who believe him right now. This is what he's doing in this psalm. Here's Christ. He's the God-man mediator, and he's standing between God, the capital L-O-R-D, and he's standing between his people. And he's singing this psalm. He's singing this song. And on one hand, he's turned to God. He's turned to God, and he's praising God, and he's reverencing God, and he's glorifying God, and he's doing that representing his people. And at the same time, he's speaking to you and me, and he's teaching us to reverence him, to submit to him, and to bow to him, because he is all of these things that we're about to read about right here. When he was representing his people, walking this earth as the servant of the Lord, Christ Jesus reverenced and glorified God as very God. And he did so in perfection for his people. Now look here in verse 2. He said, the Lord is my rock and he is my fortress. My rock and my fortress. Look at Deuteronomy 32. Christ is preeminent in everything. He's preeminent in everything. Deuteronomy 32, verse 3. It says, because I will publish the name of the Lord. Ascribe ye greatness unto our God. Deuteronomy 32, 3. Verse 4 says, he is the rock. He is the rock. Now, what does that mean? Here's what it means. His work is perfect, for all His ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is He. God is the rock. He's the solid, immutable, immovable foundation. And so He sent forth His Son. He sent forth God the Son to become one with His people that He might be our rock. God's work is perfect. His work is perfect. So He sent forth one who could do His work in perfection. He sent forth His Son to work the works of God in this earth in perfection for His people who were dead in sin. God's ways are judgment. So in judgment, God sent forth the just one to declare the judgment of God, to declare God just and the justifier of His people. God is a God of truth, and He's without iniquity. He's just and right. So God sent forth Christ the truth. He sent forth Christ to manifest, to establish the truth. Do you know what the truth is? The truth is the righteousness of God. The truth is the righteousness of God. And by the faith of Christ, by His faithfulness, by His finishing the work on the cross, mercy and truth are met together. Mercy and truth, righteousness and peace have kissed each other. What does that mean? It means Christ bore justice in place of His people, and by that He declared God just. He declared Him just, He declared Him right, He declared Him true. Now the righteousness of God is manifest without the law. Apart from anything you do, anything a sinner could do, Christ alone is the only one who has the glory of declaring, manifesting, making known the very righteousness of God. God will by no means clear the guilty. He will by no means sweep our sin under the rug and ignore it. He's a God that's just and right. And so He put the sin of His people on His Son and punished His Son justly in the room instead of His people. And it means this. It means God's merciful. It means He's the justifier. It means He's the peace of His people because Christ is God in human flesh justifying His people, making peace with God for His people. God making peace with God for His people. That's who Christ is. And we could not be justified by the works of the law. He did this for us. Christ did it. The law came by Moses, but truth and grace and the very righteousness of God came by Christ. That's who it came by. When God would show Moses His glory, where did He put Moses? He put him in a cleft of the rock. That's where He put him, and He covered him with His hand there. God put all His people in Christ the rock before the foundation of the world. God, our rock, put His people in Christ, our rock, before the foundation of the world. And God, our rock, puts all His people in Christ, our rock, in time, in our experience of grace, when He makes Christ our rock unto us. And that's when we see the glory of God. We're not going to see the glory of God anywhere else. We see the glory of God in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's when we begin to sing, Rock of Ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in Thee. He is our rock. And so, get this now. Everything except for our triune Jehovah God in Christ Jesus is sinking sand. Everything except Jehovah in Christ Jesus is sinking sand. It's just slippery gumbo mud. It doesn't have any bottom to it. Do you know what gumbo mud is? Y'all know what that is? When I was about 15, my daddy had a Ford four-wheel drive jacked up with 38-inch super swampers under it and about a 10, 11-inch lift under it. And that thing was something. It was just what any country boy growing up in South Arkansas wanted to drive. And I took that thing and drove it back in the woods behind my dad's house one time. There was 4,000 or 5,000 acres back there. And I drove that truck down there, and I just wanted to see what it'd do. So I took it back into the swampiest place there was. And it was just this flat land down there, and it had been set underwater all winter. And the water was gone now, but it was just, you can imagine how just, it didn't have a bottom to it because it just sat in water all winter long. And I went to driving that truck down through that, and I was doing fine. I could feel it trying to sink the whole time, but it was clawing its way through there, and I was doing fine until I ran out of road. I got about so far and I ran out of road, and I had to back up. And when I backed up, there was just a root just big enough that my tires couldn't get over that root. And I spun those tires about four good times. And when I did, the whole body of that truck was sitting on flat on the ground. The housing of it was about 5 inches in the mud. It took us 3 or 4 weeks before we ever even went down to get it out. And when my dad went down there to get it out, he took a jack, and he jacked up every tire on that truck one at a time, and he put rocks, bricks and rock in there underneath it. And we got through, he set that truck down, and it was sitting on a foundation. It was on a rock, sitting on a rock when he got finished with it. And that's the only way he could then turn around and drive it out of there and get it out of there. Everything but Christ is just sinking gumbo mud. The more you try to get out of it, the deeper you get in it. The more you try to work your way out, your will, your wisdom, your works, the deeper you sink in it. Christ is the foundation. He's the rock. He is the rock. God is that rock, and He sent forth Christ to be that rock for His people. And through faith in Christ, we're standing on justified ground. That's solid ground. That's immovable ground. That's ground that'll never be shaken or moved, brethren. That's a firm foundation. We just sang it. It's a firm foundation. Christ is our one foundation. Now, here's the third thing I want you to see. We see Christ, it's perfection of faith for every believer. Christ said of Jehovah, He said here in verse 2, God is my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust. He says there, He's the power, the horn of my salvation. Now, in order for you to see that this is Christ speaking, I'm sure there's always somebody that doesn't believe me, but let's look over here at Hebrews 2 and let's see. He says there, in whom I will trust. Turn to Hebrews 2. I'm going to show you at another time that verse 49 is also Christ speaking, and we see that in Romans 15. But here in Hebrews 2, verse 10. It became Him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, and bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation, that's Christ, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. Now, He's perfect. It doesn't mean that in that sense. It means to consecrate Him as our captain. He did that through suffering. Now, look at verse 11. For both He that sanctifieth, that's Christ, and they who are sanctified, that's God's elect, they're all of one. Of one, that's Christ. We're all of Christ. For which cause, He is not ashamed to call them brethren. He's not ashamed to call us brethren. Saying, He came down and He made Himself one with us. And He said this, I will declare thy name. He's speaking of God the Jehovah. I will declare thy name. Christ said, I will. I will declare thy name unto my brethren. He said, in the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. Now that's speaking of Christ. That's quoted from Psalm 22:22. And that's what Christ is doing in this psalm we're studying. He's standing in the midst of the church right here, right now, singing praise unto God. He's declaring the name of God to us. And we see that name declared in Christ Himself. And then look, now this is the next verse is from our text, Psalm 18:2, verse 13. Verse 13, He says, and again, I will put my trust in Him. I will put my trust in Him. God the Son made Himself one with His brethren by becoming a man. And the God-man is the one man to whom God looks instead of His people. And God the Son, as He served God in perfect faith, Christ said this in our text. He said, God is my deliverer. He's my deliverer. Couldn't Christ deliver Himself? Yes, He's God. He said, I have power to lay down my life. I have power to take it again. But we're talking about Him now as being the faithful one. The faithful one, trusting God perfectly. Now look at Isaiah 50 and verse 6. God is my deliverer. What did he mean by that? Here's what he means. Isaiah 50, verse 6. This is Christ speaking. Isaiah 50, verse 6. He said, I gave my back to the smiters, and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. Why? For the Lord God, that's Jehovah, that's one he's singing praises to in our text. For the here's the faithfulness of Christ. The Lord God will help me. He will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. He is near that justifieth me. You mean Christ needed to be justified? Not like we needed to be justified. He's declared to be the just one. How? God raised him from the dead. God said, this is God the Son, as I've said, as he said he is. This is the one who came to justify my people, as he said he did. God raised him, declaring to us, he is that just one. He said, who will contend with me? Let us stand together. Who's mine adversary? Let him come near to me. Behold, the Lord God will help me. Who is he that shall condemn me? And you know what Christ does for us? Look at Romans 8. He speaks into our heart from faith to faith, from Christ the faithful to the faith he's given in the heart of his child. And he speaks and he puts that same song on our lips. And he says this to us, using almost the exact same language. He says in Romans 8:31, what shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how should he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It's Christ that died, yea, rather that's risen again, who's even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? To tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword, as it's written, for thy sake we're killed all the day long. We're counted as sheep for the slaughter. No, in all these things we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. He teaches us that he is our deliverer, just like God was his deliverer. Then look at our text. In perfect faith, we're looking at his faith now. In perfect faith, our representative glorified God for his people, saying, God is my God. He's my God. Do you remember what he said after his resurrection? Remember what he said after his resurrection? He came, Jesus said in John 20:17, he said, Go to my brethren, and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, unto my God and your God. What's he saying by that? He's telling us he's one with his brethren. He's telling us he that sanctifieth and they that are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he's not ashamed to call them brethren. He's saying, I've stood in your room instead now, and now I'm going to my Father and your Father, my God and your God. In perfect faith, our representative glorified God for us, saying in our text, he said, God is my strength. God is my strength. As God the Son, he had all strength. He's God. He had all strength as God the Son. But as the one man serving God for his people, God made Christ strong for himself. So that Christ would work the works of God and glorify God. Look at Psalm 80 and verse 17. Psalm 80, verse 17. This Psalm's talking about how that we need deliverance. And he says in Psalm 80 and verse 17, let thy hand be upon the man of thy right hand. Who is that? That's Christ. Let thy hand, God, be upon the man of thy right hand, upon the Son of Man whom thou madest strong for thyself. He made him strong so that he would glorify God, so that he would work out this salvation for his people and bring all the glory to God. Then look back at our text. God made an eternal covenant promise to Christ. And in representing his people, Christ faithfully, perfectly believed God. Look here in verse 2. He says, In whom I will trust. He's going to the cross. When he went to that cross, brethren, and God turned the lights out, God turned his back on our Savior. And Christ had to trust God, that God, when he had finished the work, that God would deliver him. He had to trust God to do that. And he did. He trusted God to do that. He said, verse 3, I'll call upon the Lord who's worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. You know what Hebrews tells us? Hebrews 5. Listen to this. Hebrews 5 says this right here. Hebrews 5 and in verse 7. It says, in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplication with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, he was heard in that he feared. He reverenced God. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. He wasn't being taught obedience. He experienced obedience as a man, as one with his brethren, so that he's able to succor us, to comfort us in all our troubles that we suffer. But he had to do this, and being made perfect, being perfectly consecrated as the captain of our salvation, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. This is what he did. And when Christ completed that work, when he declared God righteous, and he put away the sin of his people, and he brought in the everlasting righteousness for his people, God did what he said he would do. God delivered him. Look at Isaiah 49 and verse 8. He said, thus saith the Lord. That's the capital L-O-R-D. This is Jehovah. Now he's speaking to Christ. He says, in an acceptable time, when the work was finished, when Christ said, it is finished. In an acceptable time have I heard thee. And in a day of salvation, Christ said, I'm going to call unto him because he'll hear me. And he said, and I've heard thee. And in a day of salvation have I helped thee. And I will preserve thee and give thee for a covenant of the people. Christ is the covenant. You know, men get all their little theological debates about covenants. Christ is the covenant. He is the covenant. He is the sum and substance of the covenant. I'll give thee for a covenant of the people to establish the earth, to cause to inherit the desolate heritages. That's what Christ is doing. That thou mayest say to the prisoners, go forth, and to them that are in darkness, show yourself. God gave him that glory. He believed God. He trusted God would bring him forth, and he did. And God gave him the glory, just like he promised him from the foundation of the world. Now, let me try to sum up what I've been trying to say and what this means for you and me. Christ Jesus is the love of the law. He is the love of the law. He is the righteousness of the law. Christ is the righteousness of the law. Christ is the perfection of reverence, the perfection of the fear of God. No man ever walked this earth that loved and served and feared and reverenced God like Christ Jesus did. Christ is the author and finisher of every believer's faith. He's the love, the reverence, and the faith of his people. Christ is. Now, you and I, we've been given a new heart. And we've been given a heart made new in righteousness, where the love of God dwells. We've been given the fear of God, so that we have a fear of God, a reverence of God in our heart. We've been given faith by God. But, brethren, our love and our reverence and our faith is far from perfect. Sin's mixed with everything we do. So don't ever, this is what men do. Men get to want to try to find some confidence. So they start looking at their love. And they start looking at their reverence. And they start looking at their faith. The fact that you might have the possession of some love in you, the fact that you might have the possession of some reverence in you or faith in you, that's not going to give you any assurance. And when you start looking there, you're going to sink down further and further. That's sinking sand. That won't give you any hope. Look to Christ. Look only to Christ. Look to him. Christ made himself one with his people. He walked the steps for his people so that his perfect love for God is our perfect love for God. His righteousness is our righteousness, the fulfillment of the law. His perfect fear and reverence of God is our perfect fear and reverence of God. His perfect faith in God is the perfection of our faith in God. It's the reason that our little mustard seed faith, we can still be saved by that little mustard seed faith, because it's not our little mustard seed faith that's saving us. It's that big, giant, faithful one that's saving us. And that's Christ, whom our little mustard seed faith lays hold of. He's the one that's saving us. Be sure to get this, and I want you to go home and think about this. When you see Christ here praising God and depending on God and believing God, loving Him, fulfilling His law for God and His people, loving His God and His brethren, when you see Him reverencing God, when you see Him believing God, see yourself doing it. That's where you're going to find your confidence and your assurance, because that's who He did it for. He did it for His people. And when Christ said, He's my God, and when He said, I'm going to your Father and my Father, to my God and your God, He was telling us that all that is Christ is ours. His Father is our Father. His God is our God. His obedience is perfection of our obedience. His righteous love is our righteous love. His reverence is perfection of our reverence. His faith is the perfection of our faith. Just like His death is our death. Just like His eternal life is our eternal life. His reward is our reward. His inheritance, our inheritance. His eternal life and glory is our eternal life and glory. His safety is our safety. As He is, so are we in this earth. Paul said, look at Colossians 3. Colossians 3. Pointed this out to you not long ago, but I think it'd be good to see it again right now when we're talking about this. Colossians 3. Look at Colossians 2. Here you go, Colossians 2, verse 20. He says, if you be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why? As though living in the world. Why? As though you're living in the world, are you subject to ordinances? Well, aren't I living in the world? God says, it's as though you are. It's as though you are. But now you want to see the reality? Colossians 3, verse 1. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on the things of earth, for you are dead. It's not as if. You are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with Him in glory. You see what I'm saying, brethren? Everything He is, we are. And where He is where we are. And what He's done, we've done. And it's ours in perfection. Now, you can take this psalm now, and you can read it again, and you can put your name in the place of David here, and you can sing this like David did, looking to the one David was looking to, Christ Jesus the Lord, and it's true of you and me who believe Him. Let's read it. To the chief musician, a psalm of Clay, and of Robert, and of Ravi, and of Eric, the servant of the Lord, who spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies. When did he do that? When Christ raised from the dead. And he said, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, and my fortress, and my deliverer. My God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler in the horn of my salvation, and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. And brethren, every bit of that we have done as perfectly as Christ did it. Amen.